This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, moving on to our next story, it's about the no exam policy in our schools. It was introduced this year for students year one to year three. Exams are now replaced with a classroom-based assessment system. Students are graded through class tests and their learning progress is assessed using various non-exam-based methods.
So it's been about 3 months since its implementation and some concerns have been raised by experts and educators. The Malaysian Insight spoke to Chen Ai Mei, an education policy researcher, who found that parents and teachers have been slow to adapt because of, well, basically a lack of clear instruction and communication.
Now, Chen also feels that there should be a systemic education policy to help change mindsets. Parents and children end up focusing too much on exams and forgetting and ignoring real education. Of course, that includes elements of play, elements of music. So educators, on the other hand, are asking for closer supervision and coordination, fearing that without these, the policy will fail. Some teachers feel that they haven't received enough training. They're also finding that they have more administrative work with this new system.
Yes, not necessarily being a parent or working within the system myself, I wonder whether there is a very, very clear guiding principle behind this, right?
Yep.
Because it can't just be that, oh, we're going to take away exams and replace it with classroom assessments, whatever that may be. Because, and I don't think that most people enjoyed exams necessarily, but they did give everything in your school life a very, very clear objective. You were always working towards your exams. You always knew you were working towards your SPM, for example. You always knew that ultimately everything's going to hinge on that. Whether that pressure was healthy is another conversation to have at another time. But at least in terms of guiding the overall curriculum, the overall teachings with all its present weaknesses as well, it gave that strong sense of direction.
Yeah, and structure, and I guess
yes,
a
exactly.
sense of security and not feeling anxious, right? Because I feel with this new system, if they really don't get it right and they really don't start communicating and training teachers properly, I'm actually a little bit worried about how tuition centres might react, right? They might rush to fill in that gap of anxiety.
While still being vague.
Yeah, while still being vague, right? So a new system with very unclear expectations, unclear how performance will be gauged. It's really a perfect pot of worry for parents and a great business opportunity. And, you know, maybe the role of tuition centers will change in that sense, right?
I mean, it is something that sounds good on the surface of it, right?
Yes.
We want to move away from rote learning. Yesterday, when we spoke about Unity as well as potentially reforming the way we teach, you know, the qualities or values-based subjects in school, like moral, like agama, we talked about needing to move away from just memorizing. We need to start living experiences, living the lessons. And I see how this is a movement in that direction. But if the lived reality for teachers and parents is that we're not sure what we're working towards, then that really needs addressing.
Yeah, definitely. If you have any concerns about the system, if you are a parent of a child who is going through the system right now, call us with your thoughts. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. I think we do have on the line Harry Tan, Secretary General of the National Union of the Teaching Profession, or NUTP. Harry, thanks so much for joining us. So first off, what do you think about the no exam policy in schools?
NUTP agrees that there should be no UPSR exam at the primary school level. We believe that exams not only emphasize on grades, and they only emphasize on academic excellence. They do not measure psychomotor skills or the students' interests. Or in many cases, the students are not really taught thinking skills. It should be abolished. We agree that there should be no mid-year or year-end exams in the primary schools, but there should be an evaluation system in place.
So as we said earlier, education policy researcher Chen Ai Mei has said that a systematic and systemic education policy needs to be put in place for this to be successful. What do you think this policy needs to include?
All right. We agree that a systematic education policy must be in place, and it must always be bottom-up. For example, if the teachers want to teach the 3 R's, the ministry must be there to offer every available help for that particular teacher. For example, last year, there was a shortage of 500 English teachers in Kelantan. How is this problem addressed? So right now, we feel that most of our resources are used in firefighting rather than training.
Looking beyond policy, what needs to be done in order for classroom-based assessments to be successful?
All right. We believe that the ministry must listen to the teachers in the classroom. Let them plan. Let them show the results. Let them work together with parents and come up with maybe workable evaluation systems that will be agreeable to all the stakeholders. That is what we propose.
And you mentioned support for teachers, and that's important. But what does having no exams actually mean for teachers as well as their work?
Now, our job is to teach, not to conduct exams. Our job is to teach and teach well. So exams are just a small part of our work. So we must keep our eye on the ball. Our main focus is our client, our students. We want them to do well in life, not just only perform well in exams.
Some teachers have had problems applying the new system to the current standard-based primary school curriculum. How can we balance this?
All right. Now, this exam system has been in existence ever since our country has attained independence. So for it to change overnight, of course, we expect many problems. But at the end of the day, these teachers must be given peer support and, most important of all, management support. Now, to get management support, sometimes or most of the times, they will be difficult because they are hard-pressed by the public, by the ministry, by the state district education department to produce results. And the only way they know how to produce results are through exams. So this need to be relooked, this need to be studied. And of course, if everybody give their support and not just take orders, then we'll be okay.
How do we change the mindset of educators and parents who have become very accustomed to an exam-based system?
Now, this is a very difficult task to do. As every parent in the world, I'm not talking about Malaysia, in the world, wants their children to obtain good grades. The society wants it. Even the politicians will stand beside students who have performed well in exams, who have gotten good grades. So this is a very difficult mindset to change. But as I said earlier, we must keep our eye on the ball. What do we want out of our students? Just for them to get A's and that means success for them, or for them to do well in life? So we need to be focused on this particular issue.
Do you think there should have been a transition or trial period for the system instead of implementing the policy straight away? How would that have helped?
I think we agree to a transition period, and I believe what that is currently done is actually a transition period, and what the current minister is doing is on the right track, because he's not starting with, you know, the whole system. He's just only starting with from year one to year three, or we call the level one at the primary school, and this is a tender age for our young to just learn the 3 R's. So at this age, we have got complaints from teachers that the students are forced to go for tuition, for extra classes, and then forced to go for all kinds of motivational classes so that they can get good results in their examinations, which I think is way beyond what they are supposed to do in school, where they are supposed to go to school to learn the fundamentals and to enjoy school and not to be pressured so at such a tender age.
So when it comes to changes like this within the education system, who are the slowest movers? I mean, the articles that we were reading seem to be suggesting that there is a lack of coordination and assistance from government agencies. Is that what you find to be the case at the moment?
Our thoughts on this is that normally the problem lies between the in-between administrators. Now, people at the top and people at the bottom, they get disengaged by the people in between, because the people in between, they are more interested in doing reports rather than seeing the success of the change, because they are under pressure from the top, and at the bottom, they are pressuring the people at the bottom. At the end of the day, they are supposed to write reports for the people at the top. So it's a no-win situation because the system is such. We believe that the agencies actually, some of the agencies actually working in silos. And we need more engagement. And we believe this is where the union or NUTP can help to tell the higher up that something is amiss and it must be quickly resolved or addressed. So, for example, today we have some problem with, or yesterday there was something in the press about the format of PT3, all right, in the year 2019. Today we were asked by the minister to resolve the matter with the exam syndicate. And I just left the meeting together with a Sarawak Teachers Union, and we managed to resolve the some teething problems that arose out of the implementation of the new exam format system. So we are very pleased with the approach that the minister has taken, and this is how it should be, because we at the bottom, at the grassroots levels, we are able to tell the higher ups the problems that we face, and the higher ups must make the magic happen. They must quickly address the problem and not let the problem fester and turn into something ugly.
And do you think we can eventually move away from exams completely, or do exams still have a role to play?
We are only proposing that there should not be any exams in the primary school level, because the students at that tender age, they should have a fun education. They should learn the basics of reading, writing, arithmetic. Whereas when they go to secondary school, it's a time where they have to prepare themselves to face the outside world. So therefore, in the secondary school, you can have their examinations. You can have whatever that is needed to make sure that they get a good grade at the end of the day, because at the end of the day, the employers want to see the paper qualification that they hold. So we are just only proposing that UPSR at Standard 6 exam be changed to an evaluation system. We abolish UPSR.
Harry, thanks so much for that. That was Harry Tan, Secretary General of the National Union of the Teaching Profession, or NUTP. You can let us know your thoughts on this story. Are you a parent? Are you a teacher? You know, going through the system for year one to year three? Let us know. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have Nava on the line, but we'll get to you after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building First World Mindsets. BFM 89.9.
It's Lynn and Kelvin on the Evening Edition, where we've been talking about the no exam policy in our schools. It was introduced this year for year one to year three students. Exams now are replaced with a classroom-based assessment system. Let us know your experience with it. If you're going through it, call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
For that matter, actually, let us know what you make of exams as a whole.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us, especially a lot of people working now, are definitely products of the mandatory exam system. So yeah, talk to us about your experiences with that too. Right now we've got Nava on the line. Nava, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Yes, good evening, ma'am.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. You had some thoughts to share?
Yes, sure. I've been in teaching for a long time, right? And this no examination policy for the lower standards is fine. Fantastic. And it's something which the children will really enjoy, right? Another thing is, if a class assessment is going to be done, or an assessment by the teacher herself or himself, then the teachers must be well aware of what are they going to assess and how are they going to do. That is something which is lacking in the present school teachers, right? I run a private school myself, and I'm facing this difficulty on a day-to-day basis. So if the ministry, the present government, and the people involved can look at a system to train the teachers what they should assess and how they should go about the class assessment, right? That will be a better move. And the children will be learning more than by just taking exams.
Nava, thank you so much for your thoughts.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly what it is, right? Right now, it seems as if there is a level of uncertainty about what these assessments should be, what it is, in fact, that you're trying to achieve. Like I said, with exams, there were a lot of problems, but you always knew exactly what it was that you were trying to hit. And I think that level of certainty, not the system, but the level of certainty and security in that is important.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think at the moment, because we've had so many education policies in the past that have come out of nowhere, and I'm hoping this didn't come out of nowhere, and that have eventually failed. And I think that's what educators are worried about, because while this seems good on paper, but if execution isn't great, it's just going to end up like the rest in the trash bin.
Yes, and also because you have to execute on so many different levels. There are so many teachers who are going to be trying to execute this accurately, that the direction needs to be clear. Sudarsan says, until the racial bias is overcome with our present crop of teachers, the proposed system is open to abuse because the teachers are the ones going to do the assessment.
And I think that is multiple levels there that could be problematic as well, right? Not only on the level of race, but on the level of maybe even, oh, well, you happen to come from the rural areas, you're someone from the Orang Asli community, you could be treated differently. And that's something that we need to nip in the bud before going forward, going further ahead with this program.
Yeah, biases are, and again, if you have a proper system of assessment, hopefully, ways of not having bias enter the picture would be included in how the assessment is conducted, right?
Yeah.
I think that factor is important. Christopher says, our perception of exams is to pass. This is wrong. Exams are there for us to learn from our mistakes. And I don't think many people view exams that way.
No, I think it's seen as a ticket to getting to high achievements, right? Whether it's a very good university or a very good job. So I think that's something that even with a system of assessments, we do need to think about, because we do tend to fall into that trap easily because we've been in that zone for so long.
On the other hand, Eddie has had a positive experience with this, saying, my youngest daughter is now in primary one at a private school. Just before this present school holiday, we received an extensive report based on classroom observation, classroom assessments, teachers evaluation, subject by subject, focusing on language, maths and science. The school had communicated with us parents continuously on what the school would implement. To us, this is so much more detailed than just a score on the exam. By the way, we don't even know that our daughter is being evaluated except to inform us of their reading and oral assessment. Thumbs up. We're very pleased with what the school has done. MOE is doing the right thing.
That's very lovely. And we have another message here from Sai, who says that I don't think exams need to be abolished. I think mandatory exams need to be abolished. However, the ability to understand something requires the learner to have adequate memory to store information. Have exams, but don't emphasize on the grades. At the end of the day, being good in a subject and having recognition on it gives the learner confidence and ultimately the drive to push further. But it should not be all and all point to decide a person's ability to contribute to society.
It should not be the be-all, end-all, I think, was
Thank
what
you.
I was trying to say, which is very true. And it is true that very often we're all just kind of reduced to a grade. Or in the case of the SPM results, we're reduced to like how many A's you got out of 9, right? And that's not enough. That isn't always a fair assessment of who you are. Like someone else pointed out yesterday, another listener, saying, I can score 100% in a pendidikan moral exam, and it doesn't mean anything for my actual moral fiber.
Yeah. And I think we have a message here from Intan Sabrina, who says that, why bother reinventing the wheel? Just look at Australia and New Zealand. No exams from prep to year 3. NAPLAN tests are optional for year 3, 5 and 7. Schools should be fun and memorable, not traumatic and demotivating for students.
And finally, a message that came through yesterday, but that I think is relevant here. And it was from Aaron, who says, we are Asian, not Bayesian. So on that note, enjoy just cringing and laughing at the same time at that particular joke.
We're going to head to the 7 p.m. news soon, but after this.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.